Here, let me explain. He's just imagining, like, all of a sudden, her mouth going like this because of the ghost cock.
Like Patrick Swayze is putting his dick in her mouth.
What is this from?
Ghost! When they're, like, at the pottery scene, like, the big...
That's the thing that happens in the movie?
No. But he, like, helps her shape the pot. With his ghost hand.
I am really fucking confused as to why this is so funny.
That's romantic, because your picture, and then I was like, ghost cock. And then he got excited, imagining all the ghost cocks surrounding us right now.
Well, no, it was more specifically,
Patrick Swayze. Shut the fuck up, let's do this.
It was more like Patrick Swayze's ghost cock more than anything
else. I'm already recording, so let's just go.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, let's do it.
What is happening? Tom.
Oh, man.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Hobby Night in Canada. I'm your host, Tom, and with me as always are...
Our intro is so bad. And I'm Steve.
Premature as always.
The human torch was denied a bank loan, and I'm Ward.
Mike?
And I'm Dan.
Okay, well after that train wreck...
That's exactly what I was going to say. That was, I think, the worst intro to date.
Yep, absolutely. So on today's episode, we're going to be talking about some new stuff coming out for Dystopian Wars and X-Wing. Going forward from that, we'll be talking about some X-Wing events that Ward and Dan went to.
Yay! X-Wing!
On today's Hobby Break, we're going to be answering a question from one of our listeners. And in Coach's Corner, we're going to answer the question as to whether or not X-Wing or any other pre-painted miniature game like that are a legitimate game in the context of guys that grew up playing Warhammer and Warhammer 40K, these like the actual hobby games as well.
I guess we're trying to answer the question, are they board games or are they miniature games?
Yes.
Exactly. It's
a
very important distinction.
Board games?
That's a category we haven't explored yet. I didn't even know it was a thing.
I just invented it. Like, the idea is mine.
Like Polly Pocket?
Sure.
No, man. Like, Mini Max, or what was that other guy?
Oh, yeah, totally. I know what you're talking about.
Mighty Max.
I had the cool Triceratops thing.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I had this wicked skull that opened up. And
yeah.
I know, sorry, this is really derailed.
If you were born before 1990, you might know what we were talking about. Anyways, we should move on to actual content.
Yeah, so what have you guys been working on this week? Steve?
Crickets should be chirping about now.
So, onward!
Yeah.
Oh.
I painted a base.
That's true. He showed us, and then we all critiqued it.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, moving on. That was me.
I built some Winter Guard, and I think that's about it this week.
Okay,
Mike.
Okay,
well, actually, I was pretty busy. I actually painted up two Malifaux gangs.
What were they?
They were Perdita and Nicodem. And I also painted up a bunch of dystopian tiny flyers and some frigates and escorts. So, you know, just to kind of get some points on the board so John didn't totally wipe us off.
What fleet was the
it's
dystopian
Prussian.
Stuff?
It's mostly Prussian stuff. Just a touch of Empire of the Blazing Sun for some of the tiny flyers. But the majority was the Prussian. I'm just getting that fleet done. It's been sitting in the black primer box for too long.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. And so for myself, I painted up my Battletech starter set. So the only thing that I haven't painted out of it is the Mad Cat, because as a clan mech, it's going to be done totally different color scheme. But yeah, so 25 mechs. I did a Borg cube, a Borg sphere, 3 shuttles for my X-Wing collection, and I think that's it for this week.
As a side note, if you guys haven't seen the pictures of Dan's Borg, you should check them out. It's pretty cool, pretty simple color scheme that turned out really awesome, I think.
Yeah. Very simple, just a little bit of glowing lights, and Picard and Nameless Cardassian guy can argue about how many lights. It's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. That's a good reference. There are 3 lights. 2 lights or 3? I can't remember.
I think it's 3 or 5. I don't know.
Whatever.
I haven't seen that episode in probably like 5 years, but...
It's a solid 89.
I thought it was 3 years.
I'm pretty sure that episode was from 89.
Touché.
Yeah, and I guess I finally finished my Earthbreaker, the Rulic Colossal for War Machine.
Nice.
And that was a lot of fun once I got the yellow sorted out.
Once you airbrushed it, yeah.
Yeah. And then I
spent the like 10 hours fixing the yellow after airbrushing it. So
it was more like 7.
Well, that's still pretty terrible. But
and then I painted up my gun mages for the Durgan list as well.
They're on the site.
Yeah, as well as Duck Killingsworth.
Duck Killingsworth.
Mm. And I had a lot of fun playing with some blood
splatter. He sounds so fancy.
That's a stupid name. Anyways, continue on.
Actually, I did forget one thing. I did do my dystopian display board this week as well.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
How many points did you get for that?
Zero.
We don't know. Terrain hasn't been factored
in. Zero.
If we factor in terrain, we lose. Well, sorry. We lose harder.
I still got the car coming in. I think that's our trump card. Yes. We'll talk about that later.
That's got to be worth at least 1,000 points.
Okay, so after all said and done there, Dan, what are the running totals? All
right, so firing up ye old spreadsheet. So for myself, I painted 30 miniatures for a total of 67 points. Tom has 8 miniatures for 19. Mike has a whopping 57 miniatures, once all those tiny flyers are accounted for, and 77 points. Ward has assembled 12 models,
Woo-hoo!
Which, due to the Ward handicap, is 6 points.
It's true. I just build them with love.
And so that is, for the entire group, that's
100.
Oh, hang on.
You also notice how I have 0 points. Yes, I have 0.
Yeah, I didn't even mention.
We
have to. We have to call that out. That I'm bad at this.
But you're taking attention away from Ward's use of love as adhesive. So I assume that's a euphemism of some
I miss?
He said he built them with love.
Oh,
and
well,
Tom,
concerning.
I think, said I use glue. So now that you're caught up.
Okay.
So that is a total of 107 miniatures and 175 points. That was a good last minute push by us there. And our slightly out of date figure for John, I think this was him a day or two ago, at 292.
No.
So, seeing as
we're
how
only 120 behind.
And seeing as how he's had about 48 hours to keep painting since I got that total, he's probably at like 400.
Oh yeah, my God.
He's been doing batches of 40 lately, so we could be in trouble. We just gotta,
we're
get our act together.
Maybe somebody's not.
Hey man,
I've been
working on the other hobby. I've been working on the car, and I think when I paint it, I should probably get 1,000 points. I think that's fair. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Are you doing any freehand?
If anybody is going to Provost, though, they should totally distract John for us. Like, there'll be a beer in it for you.
No,
screw a beer. I'll give him a case.
I think he just bought a Wii U so we can buy him like 8 copies of the one game that's out for it.
Oh my God, if they only had Steam for Wii U, we could just gift him everything.
Well, I saw that hacker game's coming out for the Wii U.
Oh, Watch Dogs?
Yeah.
Nice.
So that needs to come out sooner.
Yeah, that would be good. You should go to Montreal and tell them to hurry up on that.
Those bastards.
Hopefully John likes that game.
Yeah.
All right, we should move on.
So, for the people that know about X-Wing, which is unfortunately not me that much, why don't you talk about some of the new releases coming out?
Yay, Wave 5!
Yeah, we are just about to get our hands on Wave 4 here. They should be arriving in stores in a couple of days, if we're lucky.
You say, hopefully.
Well, Fantasy Flight has been slightly delayed in the past with a number of their shipments. So,
slightly delayed, and in the past you mean late every time?
Yeah, yes? the Imperial Aces that were supposed to be out for December were in around, like, what, March, April?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay, so
anyway,
Wave 4 was what ships that are coming out this week, I think it is, right?
Wave 4, theoretically out by the end of June here, is the E-Wing and Z-95 for the mm-hmm. Rebels.
Defender and Phantom for the Imperials.
That's correct,
that was
and
really
slightly
operatic.
Musical.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell which ones I'm excited for?
No.
I actually have to agree with you. I'm kind of tempted to actually pick up a Phantom and a Defender because they're cool looking ships.
Well, the nice thing is me and Dan each have one.
Yeah, I know. But more importantly, there is some stuff that was just announced by Fantasy Flight, which is...
Yeah, they just announced Wave 5, which is only 2 ships this time. It's the first official wave that is only 2, but it is Dash Rendar in the YT-2400.
Woo!
And it is
anybody
the,
that doesn't know, that looks sort of like the Millennium Falcon, except sideways.
Yes, it is smaller, more slightly more modern, less grungy looking. Just more, it gets a more modern version of the YT-1300. So there's that. And there's also the Decimator, -49.
I have no idea what ship this is. What's this from?
The Decimator I'm not familiar with 100%. But
the design,
like,
apparently,
extended universe stuff?
The design is from, I think, Star Wars Galaxies, where it was basically designed to be an Imperial analog to the Millennium Falcon. So it's really big.
So it's really obscure.
It's really big. It looks kind of like a Millennium Falcon, but like darker and spikier and bigger and very it's very tanky. Got zero agility. A turret on it. It's almost like a an X-Wing version of the Borg almost. Lower firepower for sure, but like hit points for days and agility 0.
It's mean looking for sure, so I like it.
I'm excited to see what this thing actually looks like.
There you go. There's a picture of it.
Oh, I'm immediately not as excited as I thought I was going to be. It's all
right. It's Sith looking, though, right?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yes. It looks definitely like a TIE fighter that slammed into a Star Destroyer, and that's what you ended up with.
I don't know. The dome on the top
like
is
like a really
the weird
serious
thing.
Rear ending.
It's
with
like,
Star Destroyer.
Maybe it's like a huge astromech on the top there. We don't know.
It could be. Or
scientists have not told us yet.
It could just be where they play their weird space hologram wrestling monsters game.
Ooh, that's a good game.
Like, what the hell game were they playing? How does that even work? Anyway. Where you just very slowly lift up a dinosaur and then put it down on its side. And then Chewie gets angry. Very strange game.
It's a game I'd probably play.
The real question, is it a legitimate miniatures game because it's based on holograms?
We gotta answer that one later. That's for later, Dan. That's Coach's Corner.
Okay, so the new dystopian stuff, which I know Mike and I are a lot more excited about.
A lot more excited about that.
So, what it looks... Well, Ward, they're not giving you new Ottomans yet.
I know.
Did give the French your Ottomans rules.
Yeah, oh, really?
And you lost them, didn't you? Didn't you
a couple of them, yeah.
I just downloaded the PDF, so I gotta go through those still and everything. Oh, so yeah. I haven't cried.
You lost.
Okay, but I want to know what's coming out.
So they are releasing at the end of this month a bunch of new fleet boxes for all the Coronations, which, for those of you who have not been keeping up with it, the Coronations have been expanded since the initial launch. So the Coronations now include, like, the original...
Russia was never
a Coronation. The French were never a Coronation. They are now.
Is Antarctica?
Antarctica is now a Coronation.
Oh, that makes sense. Cool.
Antarctica was... No. They came out right after.
No, they were second.
Yeah.
Basically, all of the second wave stuff is now official nations.
So it's only the weird little tiny ones like Australia, that kind of thing.
Yeah, Australia, Ottomans.
They're not core?
Ottomans
are not
core.
Oh,
really?
No.
I don't know.
Chinese are not
Chinese
core.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew
wait.
Okay, no. Well, save that for a second. Okay. Save that for a second. We're talking about the boxes. Okay. That thing is crazy. But the one thing I really like about these boxes is that they've released a bunch of models in them that are not just the same core fleets as you had before, and it's a lot of the newer models are actually in these core
actually,
boxes.
Actually, I think it's over half of it is new models. The smalls, like the corvettes and the frigates, are still the same.
Yeah.
But the cruisers are not all. If they're anything like the Blazing Sun ones, they're a component, and if you're a little bit good at magnetizing, you can switch them out anytime you like. I haven't seen all of the new ones yet, but I'm thinking
well,
that by
the
way.
We haven't seen them in person yet. Yeah. But the way it's working out is for my French box, they have a new large battleship. There's a
heavy
new
battleship. They have a battle cruiser.
Yeah, the battle cruiser was there before. The carrier was there before, but I do have the new large heavy, which now has some mini subs, which
you
is
had
awesome.
A battle cruiser before?
Yes.
Okay, well, everybody else who didn't is getting it now.
And then I have the new cruisers coming in the box. And the other thing is that they are also shipping all of these boxes with the movement trays for the tiny flyers.
Oh, yes. Nice.
And
finally.
The TAC cards.
Good.
You'll be able to
and TAC cards.
I'm sure that you'll pick up there's going to be tiny flyer templates after, kind of like the same thing as the SRS tokens. I'm assuming.
No,
the tokens already exist.
I know, no, but like the actual bases, they'll release those separately.
Maybe.
Too,
maybe it's a web
No
exclusive.
One's really that concerned about the tokens. Well, let's move on to the culturally insensitive Chinese Federation Dreadnought.
It's very
my God.
It's very festive.
Yeah, this was not out of place at a Chinese New Year celebration. We'll leave it at that.
It is. Okay, so if you read the blurb underneath the picture for it, the design team were just talking in their marketing meeting about what different kinds of things they could do. And the way they described it is when one person pitched, well, why don't the Chinese have a dreadnought that's a big mechanical dragon? Everyone just stopped and said, yes!
Yeah, that actually fits them.
Obviously,
very well.
They don't play 40K because they would have known that a giant mechanical dragon is a bad choice.
Although, admittedly, in the context of a racially insensitive British developer making games based on a Chinese fleet.
Yeah, that's probably all right.
It looks friggin' awesome.
It looks really cool.
And it kind of fits the fluff, because the game is not the most culturally sensitive.
Yeah.
Like, Federated States of America, compared to that, I'll take that Chinese dreadnought any day over top of the South. Let's go with that.
Yeah. Speaking of the South, you're getting into the game, aren't you, Dan?
Yeah, I am getting conned into starting, because...
What?
Mike, in his eternal generosity, is giving me a wicked deal on the majority contents of a starter set.
Shut the front door. Really? You were raging against this game. I'm so happy.
I don't know if I will ever play it, but I really want points.
Oh, Dan, really, you got to play me once. It's a deal.
Yes, I will play Mike at least once. I will give it a fair chance, But if nothing else, it'll be points on the board.
Okay. Well, if you paint up a fleet for that stuff after hating it for so long, I'll finish my Anarcha.
Because that would be all of us then.
Yeah, it would probably be one of the only games that the five of us would play.
Like, actively play at the same time.
Yeah, that actually is kind of
so
sad.
All we need is for three people here to finish painting a fleet.
And yeah, hey, what? I have one ship half done in Dazzle Camo. That counts.
Totally counts. Yeah.
You know, if it was
Dazzle
fully
camo?
Finished...
Oh yeah, sorry, Dazzle
If it was
camo,
fully
bro.
Finished, it would be one more fully finished Dystopian Wars model than Mord has.
Oh, I need to finish it tonight, then.
Why did I come back? You guys are assholes.
See, that's what I said. That's what I said.
Seriously, the thing is so close to being done, I'm going to have it done tonight, Ward. Deal with it.
Yes!
Ward, you got some work to do tonight, too.
All right.
That's your assignment. Okay. Go home and paint some Prussians.
I'll be,
Or Ottomans. Ottomans.
You know what? This is actually... I've been feeling a little bit of painter's block lately. I think this will be exactly what I need. Some simple stuff. Just
painting out of spite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best motivation ever.
Oh, yeah.
Talking of motivation, what games are you guys going to be playing at Out of the Basement?
I'm not going to be there. I might be playing Drop Zone. There's a possibility.
What do you mean possibility?
He may or may not be in town. Bachelor party with a broken leg.
That's on Saturday, isn't it?
Friday, Saturday, both, apparently.
Oh, it's both?
Yeah.
Oh.
What? Why do you need 2 days?
I don't know.
Because brain cells are overrated.
Going to a hunting lodge in Rimby. It's going to be a little weird. but I may skip one of the days, and I'll probably play Drop Zone if I do. But we'll see.
Nice. I haven't decided between X-Wing or Attack Wing yet for Friday night. I will be unemployed the entire week, so I can paint whatever the hell I want.
Oh, is Attack Wing on
Friday?
That's a problem.
Yeah, all the games that Steve might want to play are happening at the same time, so... Could be interesting.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, although I guess you can't come for Dystopian, but that is on Saturday. But if you weren't going...
Oh, Dystopian's on Saturday. Did we realize that?
Okay, we'll talk about this after the show.
Yeah.
Okay,
so someone needs to decide what I'm doing.
For me, X-Wing or Attack Wing on Friday, most likely. And then Saturday, probably... It's still a toss-up between War Machine or Dystopian right now.
Play Drop Zone. Finish a Drop Zone army.
I don't have the proper amount of points yet. I gotta...
If you're playing PHR, you'll be fine.
Listen, my car is paid off on the 2nd of July...
Okay.
And then I will be able to buy more shiny things.
Good.
And hide them from
my
wife.
Did you tell me this last
November? I did tell you, but things happened, okay?
Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
Speaking of things happening, Mike, what about you?
I am actually running the Drop Zone, but if it's odd numbers, I guess I'll be ringing.
Sure.
And maybe Dystopian, I think that's it. That's all I want to do.
That's it,
yeah.
You're not going to paint up some more Firestorm?
No, and you know why? Because it's not done.
When is the pub quiz?
Friday or Saturday night.
Okay, yeah, so I probably will take Sunday off then.
Hunting and enjoying yourself then.
That's one of the reasons I want to come back for Saturday
That's
night.
The only game that I get to play is on Sunday. I get to play in the War Machine team tournament.
Oh, yeah.
So,
see, now
who's your team?
My team is Fistful of Fury, which is...
Rob Horde's team?
Well, no, actually.
Oh!
Well, they used to be a Hordes team, and plus the Merc player, because it's Luke Baron
and Rob
McKinnon.
Nice.
Is anybody playing anything with Fury, or is it all focused?
Well, not anymore, because they both switched over. No, never mind. Luke is playing with the Fury mechanic with his piggies.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
So now it's just like a fist half full or a third full of Fury.
And really focused.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a focused fist full of Fury.
Gotcha. So, Dan, what are you playing?
I'll probably be playing X-Wing.
Shocking
Yay!
Development. Was anybody here surprised?
Caught completely off guard,
didn't
all of you.
Didn't see it coming.
Well, apparently MechWarrior's not an option. I just painted all those models for nothing.
Well,
I was really hoping you would launch your drink all over the place.
No one has played MechWarrior. When you brought that out, it was like memories flooding back.
I played MechWarrior the other night.
I'm so excited for that.
That's so weird.
The game is actually awesome. It's basically like War Machine with 1,000 times more things to keep track of. It is so awesome.
That is in no way a selling feature, but I keep catching myself looking at that Mad Cat. That thing is sweet. So I'm
And if we all pick up a box of... for this game and paint it up, that would be a lot of points.
Oh, yeah. That is one that, again, I would not feel bad doing.
Yeah, those models are... It's about 40 points worth of models in a $60 box.
Ooh,
it's not a bad deal.
That's not bad. Maybe
and,
we should just go
and some of them actually
tech.
Look pretty good.
All BattleTech all the time.
So we're officially changing into a BattleTech podcast.
Who saw that coming?
All right.
How many guys still play? Three?
Well, we got five here, plus Luke.
We're doubling it now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be awesome.
As a side note, I also just watched the BattleTech cartoon on YouTube the other day.
Yeah!
It is so bad. I love it.
It is amazing.
So the other thing I want to mention is, if you can make it to the Saturday night pub quiz, do so for Out of the Basement. It's a huge amount of fun. You get to know the rest of your gamer crew, and I always really get all really drunk.
We're not going to have our jerseys yet, but I'm sure that you'll be able to recognize some voices.
Four out of the five here or there, I think, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, cool.
And either look for someone really tall with long hair and a beard, or really short with short hair and no beard.
That's probably the same.
You guys are the only ones that are important? I see.
Okay, well, no, you're the extremes.
Or somebody's dry brushing in the corner.
Oh!
Hey, you brought it upon yourself there.
Okay. Okay. All right, so.
It's time to move on.
Yeah.
Before somebody gets stabbed. So our game of the week this time around is going to be covering two events that Ward and Dan went to.
It's not really a game of the week, but events of the week.
Or gamings of the week? Games of the week.
Gamings of the week. I like that.
English win. But yeah, you guys went to a couple tournaments.
If you hear that thwacking sound in the background, that is... I don't know what that
Mike
is.
Mike doing unspeakable things
Mike
to Ward.
Mike crush Ward right now.
He's planning on it right now.
Okay, so the first ones you guys were at were Attack at Imdar, right?
Yes.
There was three Attack Imdar events around the city.
Yeah, two of them happened on the Sunday, one on the Saturday.
I was really tempted to avoid a wedding and go to the second one, but I couldn't.
Yeah, apparently that's not an option. But yeah, so I went to, what was the first one I went to? I went to
Thunderground.
I was trying to remember which day was which. And the Thunderground one was a lot of fun. And I believe Jean-Luc, Paul's son, won that event, which is becoming quite the trend for a kid. He is freaking amazing. Second at regionals, by the way, Jean-Luc.
I know, you told me. That's a bit ridiculous.
It's insane.
He's 9 years old.
He is nine.
What? You guys should step up your game. Like, that's kind of sad.
Dan got beat by a 9-year-old.
Yes.
You heard it right.
I'm pretty sure I've only lost to Jean-Luc once, but it was 99-0 in a 100-point game.
Oh, nice.
The only reason it wasn't 100-0 was because I took a 99-point list. So, yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah.
Okay.
And that was actually at Imdar. Yeah, that was the only game I lost at Imdar at Thunderground, was to Jean-Luc.
So, of those, why was Imdar, I know you guys were really excited about Imdar, why were you so excited about it?
Right, depending if there's staggering events, that sort of thing.
Yeah, hopefully not all on the same day, because that would be a bit of a waste of potential.
For sure.
No, definitely cool, meet some new guys, and like you said, some of them were just getting started out, and they're all really nice, really eager, and a lot of them come from like Warhammer 40k backgrounds, so... Definitely guys we have a lot in common with, so yeah, it was a lot of fun.
We got to play against each other on the top table in the final round, and you squeaked out a victory. Well, I don't know if squeaked is the right word, but you managed to get a victory over me.
It was a crushing defeat.
Yeah, after he used a very similar list to the one from Onslaught, the one that he absolutely wrecked me with, so I kind of knew what to do with it this time around, approached it a little bit more sensibly, and... yeah, came out with the win this time.
So, but since I drove him, he was a nice guy and asked what ship I kind of wanted, and he went with the other Imperial ship, so...
Yeah, because I wanted them both equally. Like, I really liked the Defender, I really liked the Phantom, so realistically didn't matter much to me and wanted to, you know, be a nice guy and give my ride first choice.
Essentially. So...
So you didn't want to get left in Calgary, is what you're saying.
Well, this one was just on Way Down.
This one was just on Way Down.
In Edmonton here.
I would have taken my 10
minutes. Same thing.
Oh, was it the Way Down location?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Warp 1.
Oh, that makes a little more sense why they hadn't run anything before for this. Okay,
yeah, because Warp 2's done a few things, so...
Yep, makes a little more sense.
So, between the two events and me and Dan, we have 3 out of the 4 new ships.
Yeah, I don't have... I guess I should say the ones I do have. I have the Phantom and the E-Wing, as I said, and Ward has the Defender.
So it's pretty handy. So we get to take a look at all the new ships and go from there. So
when do those actually come out?
They should be out in 2 weeks.
I think they were supposed to be shipping by the end of June-ish. Now, Fantasy Flight has had a few things delayed in the past, so there's kind of some fingers crossed on that one. But yeah, they might be out by July.
Yeah. So and they'll sell out really quick, I'm sure. So because I need a couple more of. I want 2 of each ship, essentially, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, 2 of each at a minimum, as always. The Z95 being 12 points, I mean, you could realistically get 3 or 4 of them into a lot of lists pretty comfortably, so I could see that being the one that you buy the most of, just because they are by far the cheapest. Like, the the E-Wing's 27, the Phantom starts at 25, and the Defender starts at 30. So in a 100-point list, like, the other ones are significant investments, whereas the Z95 is either going to be filling holes in your list, or you can go full-on Rebel Swarm with it as well. Just something they're kind of new to. So
yeah, I know lots of people are thinking about that one. And then this last weekend, we got to play at the regionals for Western, or for Alberta, because there's still one in Vancouver.
I can't remember if there's one for Vancouver. Uh-huh. I know for sure it was, they were calling it Western Canada, so they might not have had one in BC, actually.
Maybe. So we got 7 guys to go down from Edmonton. Trevor drove us down in the wee hours of the morning. I did not like waking up in the morning.
Yeah, that was slightly unpleasant.
So...
The wee hours of the morning.
So we drove down. Registration was at 10 o'clock. And then we got to play 4 games. Steve, 4.
Thank you.
4 games. And, so there was a good mix of people. Again, from Lethbridge, Edmonton, and the Calgary area. My first, to quickly run through my 4 games. First opponent was Paul. Unfortunately, Paul didn't fly as... correctly as he wanted, and I managed to get Han off the board and destroy his one other ship, and that was a quick 15-minute game.
Did either of you get to pull off the what good's a reward if you ain't around to spend it as Han flies off the board?
No.
Because that would have been awesome.
we did get a second game in, so we maximized. I got 5 games of Attack Wing or X-Wing
who won the second game.
So I pulled off a victory gain on the second game against Paul, so...
Hopefully wow. So the sympathy bit... game was yeah. actually you just being a jerk.
I was bloodthirsty. I was out for blood this one. My second game was against another Edmontonian, David, and against 4 X-Wings. He just... I could not mask my firepower and destroy a single one. It was just like whittling him down, and he had like no shields on any of his ships, but I was toast.
With X-Wing, you really do have to focus fire and kill ships, because a crippled ship is still shooting back at you.
Exactly. It doesn't reduce anything until a critical happens on it. Third game was against another Lethbridge fellow, Wally, who I've met a couple times, has come up for Onslaught and events up here, that sort of thing, so owns his own gaming shop now down in Lethbridge, and played a game against him. It was pretty close. Dark Curse just was my curse, and I could not pull off a victory and kill him, and I think there was one other TIE fighter that I couldn't get, so he pulled off a victory on that one. So right now I'm 1-2, and then I go into the final game against a TIE Swarm against Nick, against 7 TIEs, Howl Runner, and lots of Obsidians, and I managed to pull out a win there, so... killed Howl Runner and just whittled away then some Obsidians, and
nice.
It was good. So Nick was my favorite game for sure. So he was just a little bit crazy. It was back and forth. The dice gods would favor me one turn and take it away, and same thing for him. So it was a nice back and forth battle for sure.
Right on. And it's actually interesting because Nick was your last game and he was my first game, where I played him in round 2 because I had the first round bye with the store champion certificate. But we played in round 2, and he had the TIE Fighter Swarm, which is something I was really not looking forward to playing against. Playing a 3-ship Rebel list with Chewie and 2 B-Wings. It was definitely a list I didn't want to come up against. I mean, it has a lot of firepower models everywhere, and could really whittle me down. Like, I don't have the agility, in theory, to dodge that kind of firepower for very long. But in practice, I baited the hook. I put Chewie in a position where he could really go after him and try to get in a bunch of shots, but he had to risk a bunch of asteroids to do it. And unfortunately, he landed a bunch of ships on the asteroids, took some damage, lost a bunch of his firepower in the process. And actually, in the end, it was, at the time limit, it was 86-0 for me. So that was by far my best performance against a Swarm ever. So can't argue with that one.
Well
done. And the second game was against another Swarm player. Kind of had the exact opposite result, where he deployed... in the opposite corner that I was hoping he would, so I kind of had no good avenue to approach him. I couldn't use the rocks as an obstacle. And when you end up going head-on, like, 7 ships against 3, it ends pretty predictably. So I wasn't able to use any maneuvering to my advantage, just got worked. And in that game, the dice were... they were pretty good the first game. The second game, they were really quite bad. I only dodged 2 incoming shots the entire game. And, I almost got tabled for no loss. But in the end, I did kill a TIE fighter, so I got on the board.
So with the trouble with maneuvering, at any point did you yell, never tell me the odds, because I bet you that would have helped?
It probably would have helped. It probably would have, but I had Chewie, so I just kind of didn't have
grunted.
As many didn't have as many quote moments.
Bad.
Yeah, just, I don't know. I got nothing. But, so yeah, that game went pretty disastrously, and in the next game, I was up against David. So, yeah, same player that Ward drew again.
We were kind of middle of the pack and played a lot of similar guys, so...
Well, you were kind of... No, I don't know if we were quite on the same area of the pack, but we ended up with some of the same opponents.
Whoa!
It's, you can tone down the douche a little.
Can you take this knife out of my back
better
right
than
now?
You.
So,
shing.
I know, holy smokes.
But,
so.
Yeah. It sounded kind of mean.
How are you in different parts of the pack if you play the same players?
Well, because the players I played against started with a good record, and then I started them off on a losing streak, where then Ward got to beat them. Ward was right around 500, and I was slightly above 500 for most of the tournament. Yeah. So it does make a lot of sense. Like, I'm just being an asshole because it's amusing.
That's true.
And because you did finish a lot higher than he did.
Not even a lot higher. Like in the end, I finished 3-1. And there were, I think, 7 players tied at 3-1. 2 of them had 4-0 records. And Ward was one of another large group of players at 2-2.
Yeah.
So in the standings, there were like 10 positions between us, but it was 3-1 or 2-2. So the way it clustered, it looks like a big difference, but realistically, it's just one game. So
come on, man. The position counts.
Yeah. Well, considering there was prizes for top 16, so top 16 got tokens. Top 8 got tokens and dice, and then top 4 got tokens, dice, and templates. So I squeaked in with the 2-2 record at 16th spot, and I got a set of tokens. Dan was a little bit higher than me.
Yeah, so I got those shiny clear dice, and I was hoping to get my hands on an extra set of them, but there was like a huge awkward silence when I asked everybody if anybody wanted to sell their dice, so I guess everyone really likes clear, shiny dice. But, yeah, and also
we're
Sentry
basically
Box.
Raccoons gamers, you know that, right?
Well, or magpies. Magpies work, too.
Yeah, I will keep these and put them in my nest.
And Sentry Box also kicked in some gift certificates, I believe, for the top 4. So, like, $25, $50, $75, and $50 gift cards. So that was very generous of them as well.
No. We went
so there's two $50 gift cards?
Sure.
For first and third. No.
So 25, 50, 75, 100?
There we go.
Yeah. That probably makes the most sense.
You went up to 75 and then back down. It was like,
wait?
So first place sucks, apparently. All right.
So yeah, I'm not sure who got third and fourth, but Jean-Luc made Paul stay late and drive home really late.
I think they were spending the night anyway. They have family in town.
Oh, okay, that's all right then. So, and he got second. And then Greg Jackson ended up with first for the regionals.
So you're saying that the 9-year-old beat both of you, really?
Well, we didn't get to play him. Otherwise, I would have showed no mercy. But
in your loss.
Yeah.
Ouch. I haven't played against him yet. I want to, actually.
Oh,
so,
you've been a
dick
the whole time while you're losing.
Not a dick.
You know,
but
you're only 9.
But he's like he's been playing the same list since, I think, Out of the Basement in January. So,
yeah, for,
like,
for a couple of months he's been running with Hellrunner, Dark Curse, three Obsidians, and a shuttle with Darth Vader on it. So it's a really...
That's weird.
It's actually quite effective because the TIE Fighters can do pretty steady damage and just like whittle away, strip the shields off a ship. And then the shuttle shoots last at pilot skill 2, and with Darth Vader, after you resolve your attack on a target, you can take 2 damage yourself to give 1 uncancelable critical to your opponent. So it's amazing for mopping up wounded ships.
Yeah, so you got that 1 ship left with 1 critical, or maybe 2 hull points left, and Vader goes on it, and you can flip that like, 2 damage, and just pop ships at the end there. So
yeah, it's definitely a quite effective list. It's I know there's a number of folks online that are running something based on that, where you have 4 or 5 ships that shoot before the shuttle, and then the shuttle to finish off any stragglers with that automatic critical.
Cool.
So it's actually a really, really nice list, and I've played against it 3 or 4 times. I've used one similar to it, and I really like it as well. So when I go back to running Imperials, I might be running something pretty similar.
Neat.
Cool.
So all in all, you're pretty happy with the Fantasy Flight tournament packs that they put out for these events, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They're definitely doing something a little different compared to, you know, WizKids with Attack Wing, where you're not getting exclusive content necessarily that you can't get elsewhere. You're getting participation prizes or like alternate artwork cards. So for regionals, it was a Luke Skywalker with, like, instead of a little picture of an X-Wing, it has a photo of him, like, climbing into the X-Wing from the movie. So it's just something a little bit cool. Again, the tokens are a little bit fancier than the stuff that comes in the starter sets, but, you know, you're not getting something that gives you a competitive advantage. It's just, like, cool swag and, you know, the maneuvering templates say, like, you know, regional championships and stuff like that. Yeah. So you get some bragging rights.
I gave my tokens to my favorite player, which was Nick, so... And then I got angry at me because he wants more tokens.
I love all the tokens. And there's still some tokens that I want and don't have, so I'm always hoping to get more to be able to trade. But Ward always gives them away when I'm not paying attention. Yeah, so
good on you. I like that.
That's what I do.
But definitely apparently. Some sportsmanship points there.
So no, he was an awesome player. So
yeah, he was probably my favorite opponent of the three rounds that I played as well. So
awesome. All right. I think that's it for our games of the week, or tournaments of the week in this case.
As whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in this week's Hobby Break, we're actually going to answer a listener question a little preemptively. And the question was, how do you paint black?
With a
poorly
brush. Or an airbrush.
Poorly, usually. I find black to be probably one of the harder colors to paint. It shouldn't be, but for some reason is. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. To me, it's actually the two opposites are one of the hardest to paint. That being the black and, of course, white. If you're not careful, if you don't shade one heavy enough, it doesn't look right. And if you don't highlight another one as much, it doesn't look right. They're like opposites in which way you have to approach it, but they're both very difficult to get and do correctly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I agree.
So so what have you painted black recently, for example, Mike?
Actually, it would probably be I did a different take on my red scorpions. Instead of doing the dark gray, I went black and yellow on them. And it's all their armor. And I went with a neutral black coloring where I'm using grays, not blue grays, but true neutral grays, which are a mix of black and white, to give my black shading. And then... yeah, you have to be really careful. It's a lot of edge lighting, and you got to be very careful that you don't go too far on how much you highlight on the black.
Yeah, because black highlighted too far just looks gray.
So yes. I know two people here have painted entire... I think you have two, Mike, so maybe three have painted entirely black armies, or main color being black, because, Ward, you had the Marine army that was mostly black, right?
Yeah.
And it was mostly primer.
Yeah.
Primer. It was not...
There was some bits of purple on there.
My wife said Ward's really good at painting black.
Well, there you go. But what I was going to say...
I get ribbed so bad for that.
For your primer army?
It wasn't primer.
Okay, but here's one of the reasons that I think you guys actually shade black, which I think is a beginner misconception, that you do actually have your main tone of black shouldn't be your darkest paint color. Does that make sense?
I think what you're trying to say is the majority of the surface of the... you know, of the model shouldn't be pure black.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, like you still need to have, instead of having like, if you're doing blue, for example, you would have like a dark blue, a mid blue, and a light blue. Black is definitely tricky for that because a lot of companies don't make a really dark gray.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times you end up having to mix like a 50-50 of the darkest gray you can get, or even a little bit more heavily black sometimes.
Yeah, and it's tough because you don't, like, there is no mid-black. Mid-black is just gray, so you have to be very careful.
If I use GW colors, it's going to be the Abaddon black and the Eshin grays would all mix, and it's usually...
yeah, Eshin gray is fairly dark, a little darker than
Codex. Two to one usually is what I do.
Yeah, and it also depends, too. You have to be aware that black you can highlight with basically almost, I want to say, any color. You got to be careful. That's not entirely a blanket statement, but you can do blue... you can do browns, you can do off-whites, white, that kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah,
I like to look at it. You can do it three ways. You can do cold, which is blue. You can do warm, which is browns. Or you can do neutrals, which is gray. And that's the kind of the way you want to go.
And whereas I think about it a little bit more of consciously, what is this black made out of? So for me, a lot of times...
That's a weird sentence. You got to explain that to me because I don't know what you're
trying to say. Well, no, sorry, but like, what is the material... on the model.
Oh, the actual material.
So
like
is
ceramic?
It leather? Is it satin? Is it a ceramic? Is it
Okay.
Like a cotton cloth? And that'll really determine how I'm painting each one.
Yeah, makes sense. Absolutely. I gotcha.
So and that'll kind of then tie in a lot to the is it gonna be the
cold,
kind of the
warm,
cold, the warm, or the more neutral.
I find that there's three ways of doing the black as well. So there's priming, which you guys harass me for, but I don't just prime. There is a little bit of like the shading, of course, with grays that I put in. But you could just prime it and leave it black if you're just looking for like a color, I guess, on it, right? The second one,
definitely, and you'll actually get a smooth coat, which I think is
nice, right?
Which is better than sometimes brushing it.
All the details are still going to be there with the primer, yep. All that good stuff. There's sharp edge contrasting, which Dan's Raven Guard is a prime example of it, where it's just like hitting edges.
Yeah, I want to talk about with a little bit of color after this.
So there's like blues or grays or whatever color you want to do, and you just basically are hitting edges of whatever the black surface is, and then mm-hmm. there's the blend. Which, again, you'll mix the color with the black to achieve, like, a highlight. So if you're doing cloth, especially, like you mentioned, Tom, you mix in some bleach bone so it's a little bit warmer of a black shade for cloaks, tabards, all that good stuff, right? So to me, those are the three basic styles. And then just depending on what colors you want to mix with the black, you'll achieve your desired results, hopefully.
So talking about colors mixed with black, Dan, you have, I think, the longest running army you've been working on this black. That Raven Guard you've had forever, and I know you did an interesting edge highlight style, and I want if you could explain that, and also I want to know, would you, if you were to start that army over again, would you do the same thing?
Oh, probably not. Okay. I really do like the way the models turn out, but
so what do you do with them?
Yeah, the way I paint them is I actually kind of do the opposite of some of our earlier advice, where I leave the majority of the surface like pure black. So that's, you know, I do use black primer because they're primarily black on the Raven Guard with a little bit of trim and other colors, but prime them black, you know, touch up the primer, do all the other stuff, whatever. But the highlights on the black are actually just edge highlights with the old Regal Blue, or if I had to use a modern color, I'd probably use P3 Exile Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then the highlight was old Enchanted Blue, and I think Signar Highlight for P3 works pretty good for that. And then the final edge highlight is just Shadow Gray.
Yeah, so it is definitely a very cold blue. Because
at the time, there were a lot of players that had black Templars. Like, they were still pretty popular back in 2003 or whatever when I started painting this army. And so I wanted to stand out a little bit from the crowd and do something with a little bit more pop to it, a little bit more color. And yeah, it definitely accomplishes that. It looks god-awful until it's finished. When it is just black highlighted with blue, it looks pretty weird. But the Shadow Gray definitely brings it back into the, you know, the realm of reasonability.
So how would you paint that army if you did it today?
If I was
knowing all your airbrush tricks,
knowing more, you know, modern tricks, I guess, with some of the new paint ranges, especially that are available, as well as some of the newer fluff for the Raven Guard, where at the time they were just kind of like they were Marines and they liked scouts and they occasionally sneak around and, you know, get bonuses to the reserve rolls. But with some of the expanded fluff, like a lot of these smaller, less known chapters have, like, you know, full on dedicated novels and everything, and they are really like the very stealthy, very subtle. So I'd probably paint them in like a lot more neutral, like subtle black. So the way I would probably actually paint them is with some of these airbrush paints that I've been picking up. There's I have a Panzer Gray surface primer from Vallejo.
Yep.
That is like a really, really dark charcoal kind of a color. And so airbrushing that over a black primer and then doing like a little bit of a highlight above that with like Eschen Gray or something, and then doing some weathering, I think would be very representative of the Raven Guard fluff. And even in a lot of their fluff, their icons and everything are in some cases black on black as well. So you could almost do, instead of painting some of the black on black stuff, you could do things with like dull varnish on some areas and like a gloss varnish on another to do like subtle differences in the trim, but it's still black on black.
Yeah, because they do the whole insignia blacked out where, like, to hide it from the enemy kind of thing, right?
And yeah, a lot of their recon squads, yeah, and other things, like, all their iconography is either super dark, like charcoal gray, or, you know, basically black on black. Like, very hard to paint, but if you can pull it off with, and using a little bit of the weathering and some of those other techniques, you can get a little bit more color into the scheme without really ruining the fact that they're still mostly black. So I think that'd be the way to go.
I like the gloss varnish on, like, the emblem, and then, like, the dull coat on everything else, too, so That makes the transition there kind of unique.
Yeah, I think with some of the Forge World sculpted shoulder pads and stuff, that would be really neat. Unfortunately, they don't have much in the way of that yet. The Raven Guard and some of the other Horus Heresy Book 3 legions haven't had much attention yet. So hopefully they will be out sooner rather than later, because right now they just have the, I think it's a Stern Guard conversion kit. So it comes with like some bolters, some torsos, some shoulder pads, but you can't buy like just the shoulder pads or anything like that yet.
Yeah, and I think one of my favorite things that I've encountered now with painting black, you mentioned some P3 paints, coal black.
Yeah, coal black is one of my favorite colors.
It's what I use for most of my Dark Eldar, which are predominantly dark.
Yeah, it's a very dark, very... It's kind of like a mix of like black, gray, and like an old scaly green or hawk turquoise. Totally. Like, it's a very dark, dull color that you can mix up either with something like Shadow Gray to keep it more dull, or some people even highlight it with Troll Blood Base, which is like another grayish turquoise, but a lot brighter.
I'll even go so far as sometimes to mix in a little bit of an equivalent of Space Wolf Gray.
Yep.
And just doing that in moderation for more extreme edge highlights. Especially for more of a satin-looking black, works really well.
If you want to get an idea of the color we're talking about, take a look at the, sort of at least the tonal range, take a look at the GW Dark Eldar Studio Army. Their darkest highlights are very similar. And I think they were actually, that army was painted before the new paint range, so they might have been using, it's very possible they might have been using a P3 analog, because that didn't exist before the
new
range.
Or just crazy amounts of mixing pots.
It's very similar. Anyways, it's good color. Are you working on anything right now that's particularly black there, Tom?
Well, my Kiazi Assassins for the Mercenaries.
Other than your soul?
I'm such a black-hearted individual.
No, he is.
No, seriously, what are you working on that you can relate?
Well, honestly, it's the more satiny black. I have the Kiazi Assassins, which are the allied mercs that are normally a Kador unit, and they're predominantly black with red and gray. So because they're assassins and I want it to be a little bit more of that loose, silky, satiny kind of fabric, it's definitely going with the teal. Cool. So the coal black up with a little bit of the Space Wolf gray. And I did the same thing for the pants on my ogres, because, again, I wanted them to have the very kind of flashy black pants.
Plants. Oh, were they plaid? Is that what you're kind of mixing?
No, they're just all black all the time. All
right. Ward, you been painting anything with primer lately?
Has he been painting anything lately?
Nah. Because you guys are all assholes.
How did you do that army?
And I get so much flack for that army.
Tell us how you did it.
Really, you're getting flack, huh?
Tell us, set the record straight right now. How did you paint that army?
So I primed it black.
Okay. All right, okay, and then you were done.
No. Then this was like the start of my airbrushing, so I didn't want to go crazy, and I had like a little bit of black-gray mix, and I was trying to do like a little bit of zenith like lighting. So basically just like top like edges like airbrushed down. For a little bit of gray.
That was hand flamer, wasn't it?
It's very, very, very light. Because, again, I didn't want to go too crazy. But there was variation in that for sure.
There was definitely subtle highlights. I will confirm it.
We will make fun of you till the end.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fine.
No, make fun of him. And that's why. I get dry brush. He gets black. Come on.
And that's, I think, part of the reason that I'm avoiding... I don't know if I want
to... That was a mistake. But anyways,
Hobby Nation Canada would like to officially apologize for the statements of Michael Sawada.
I
apologize to or for?
Yes.
I'm trying to avoid anything that's totally a black army right now.
I agree. That's why I never painted Old Way and went to my Dark Eldar.
So like my Kador, I don't want to do red. I'm in black. I'm trying to do like a deep blue. And like silvers for them, so that's going to be totally different.
For me, I always was tempted to do Kador in like Soviet green, but then I painted 3 models in that color and got bored of it, so.
Yeah.
And there's another guy in the community that has that army painted as Soviet green that looks fantastic.
So I'm trying to go something, a little bit different for that. And then, none of my other armies, I don't have any inclination of doing like an all black force for Marines right now.
But will you be doing black trim for your Imperial Fist, or are you going to go with the red?
I'm going to go with green, actually. I'm going to do 4th Company. Oh, so they're going to do green trim, green bolters. Eagles, I hate as the red. I'm going to do silver. So it's going to be like no real red.
Consider copper.
Yeah, copper would actually probably be better. I second that.
Not verdigris copper, I don't think, because I think that would drag it down too far away. But I think like a bronze, I guess I should say. Like a clean bronze, I think, would be a good complement to that.
Okay, discussion for later. Okay. Mike, what are you working on in a super dark color scheme?
Super dark? Nothing really. I'm all into grays right now. I'm not touching the blacks. I'm tired painting black and white right now.
So instead of painting black and white, you're just going to mix the two together.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to meet them halfway.
I actually, I can't agree more. Painting actually full-on black army is really hard to make look clean, crisp, and actually still black. Because by the time I highlight things, it ends up always looking like a color, not like
black. That's always the challenge. For when I was doing some of the black, because I have, with these Raven Guard, I do have like multiple styles of black. The armor has the blue. But the weapons, they have black that's just black mixed with shadow gray. And so one of the ways I was doing that was trying to do about the first highlight, which was pretty significantly black with like maybe 2-to-1 with just that small portion of shadow gray in it. I try to cover about half the model with that. So like if it was on like a rocket launcher tube or something like that, it would be the top half, like, and then just do a little bit of edge highlighting around that. So trying to keep things subtle, trying, like you were, we were saying earlier, trying to get a significant portion of the model with that subtle highlight so that you can still get your shading with your pure black. So,
And I think we should try to post the three different pictures of the three different types, like the edge highlighting for the black, the blending, and just a primer. And so that way you can kind of see the difference.
Are you offering, so you get the primer example? One?
He doesn't have that army anymore.
Yeah, that army is gone, so...
No, but I think it actually wouldn't be a bad idea of how we kind of paint our darker schemes, because, like I said, I don't even try.
Or even the different styles of black, like the cool, the neutral, and the warm as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point, too. Like, as an example for that, I also have some Averlanders that... they're the black and yellow Empire troops, and the black on those guys is highlighted by mixing up with Bastion Gray, which is a warm... almost like a beigey gray from P3.
Yep.
And then I think there's a highlight with a little bit of bleached bone mixed in beyond that. So
yeah, that makes sense, though, because it's a yellow versus black. You can get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they might be Dan's examples. So
yeah, I definitely have a few different styles that are sitting in the cabinet over there.
But I think last point that I want to make on this is one of the things I think painting black, you might be actually more interested in just a dark color scheme. And something that uses black as a majority color, but is still tinted by another color. That's way easier to paint. That is leaps and bounds easier to paint. And again, I would point you to the Dark Eldar on the GW site. That would be, you can do that with blue, red, you name it, and won't make you go crazy. So,
Fair enough.
The only other question I'd have for you, Dan, because you've painted tanks and marines, do you approach larger models versus smaller models any differently?
With the Raven Guard, I approached them basically the same way, which was really unfortunate because that's a lot of those like really razor thin, like arrow straight highlights on like the corners and edges of a rhino or whatever, and those are a pain to get those done with those crisp edge highlights. So I did them the same way as the infantry.
Hand cramps.
Yeah, the hand where I tried to put the thing down and I couldn't uncurl my fingers, like. Yeah, painting Raven Guard vehicles in a single setting was not very good. My hand was just locked up like a claw. But,
much time doing those edge highlights.
Yep, but hey, had to get it done, man. Yep. Had like a tournament 48 hours in the future. But, so I think if I was to do the vehicles again, like, that's part of the reason, I guess, why I wouldn't do the army the same way if I was to start from scratch. Like, doing some of the really subtle, like, airbrush dark gray highlights, then doing a little bit of edge highlighting on top of that. It's a lot more manageable, I think, whereas doing those multi-stage, razor, sharp, whatever, highlights, it's really quite challenging. So I'd probably try to avoid that, especially on vehicles. When those edges are like 4 or 5 inches long, it's really, really hard to keep those straight.
Okay, so I think that's a good hobby break for us. So hopefully that was useful for you, Luke. Let's move on to Coach's Corner. So this week, as promised, we're going to discuss whether or not X-Wing is going to be considered...
Whether or not it's a game.
Well, it's a game. It's obviously a game, but whether or not it's more of a traditional miniature game or if it's almost should be viewed more as a board game.
Well, let me start. It's a miniatures game. Because if you have miniatures that aren't in squares on a board, like at the end of the day, chess is a board game. It has miniatures that represent small army battalions or whatever you want to call them. It's not a miniatures game because it has a board and you clearly don't paint them because they're abstracted.
So would Battletech be a board game then because it plays on hexes?
Yeah, you beat me to it.
It's not abstracted. That's clearly a mech that represents one particular thing. Like checkers, what's a checker? That's a board game.
Chess is relatively
It's abstracted.
Clear.
What it, you don't legitimately have a queen that goes out. It might be representative of your queen's cavalry or something like that because that is it is a medieval war game.
Yeah, I've never seen a queen just fly around the board and smash things. And
yeah, whereas in Battletech you legitimately
sorry,
have...
I mean fly around an actual battlefield because actually I have seen it happen in chess. I said the opposite is what I meant.
I knew what you're saying, don't worry. But yeah, no, I think the X-Wing and Attack Wing are totally miniatures game. I mean, all of us here have painted Attack Wing, so you can clearly do that part of things. The only difference in my mind is they come pre-painted, and who cares?
At the end of the day, you just prime over it and start over. Like that, the whole pre-painted thing for me is, I see that as basically just reducing the barrier to entry. Like a lot of people who go like, oh, hey, that's, it's like Warhammer, you know, War Machine or something like that. That looks cool. But wait, I don't want to I don't want to spend 6 months building and painting an army before I can start playing with it. Whereas these, you can use them out of the box. And the, yeah, the attack wings are really basic out of the box, but you can still use them. You can get your games in, have an enjoyable experience. And when you want to paint them later, you just go ahead and do it. Like,
yeah, totally. The number of people that I've been like, oh man, that's super cool. I want to get into Warhammer. Oh, I have to paint it. And they're immediately no longer interested.
Yeah.
Is sad because it's a really cool game and it would be awesome if people would play it.
I think for X-Wing, it's still for a different like level of hobbyists. Like you can still like pick up the starter set and play the game if you're not into hobbying, but it still caters towards like the advanced hobbyists. Like
no,
like
I understand us, what you're right, saying. I'm just saying you cannot consider it a hobby game. You can consider it a miniatures game, but you can't consider it a modern game because you do not assemble it. You do not prime it. You do not glue it together.
Those
you do not
pigs
paint it.
Are a pain in the ass.
I'm just saying, technically, it's not a hobby. Anything that gets done to it is enthusiasts going the extra step.
Okay, but this is a hobby game?
No, it's not a hobby game.
I would agree with that, but as a miniatures game...
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I'm saying it is a miniatures game, but it is not
it was
a hobby.
My lingo. It was my lingo that he wanted to
punch me. So what about the
over.
Board games that have very representative figures?
So you're talking like the WizKids stuff?
Or, no, I'm talking about stuff maybe like Last Night on Earth.
Where I'm not familiar with that one.
So it's a zombie fighting board game where you've got several different character models, and you have a bunch of zombies, and they're moving around on a board that's got lots of detail, much like you would with Battletech, that kind of style. And they're completing missions and fighting the zombies, and you're rolling dice. It's a board game.
It totally is a board game.
And if you wanted to, you could paint the models.
See, that's a gray area, totally.
Because you can paint anything. You can paint Monopoly pieces if you want. You can paint checkers if you really want to.
But all I'm saying is...
Checker Jim and Checker Bill.
How many points do we get for painting checkers?
Well, I'd say, what, that's maybe, what, about 40 mil around? That's about Terminator-based size?
2 points
each.
Okay,
it could be Ogryn.
I don't know.
Let's get some oversized checkers and a spray gun and do this.
This is us desperately trying to win this.
So, I mean...
John, look what you've reduced us to.
With a game like that, I mean, like, it's going to follow a certain, like, rule set. With X-Wing and Attack Wing and such, you have the customizability to basically make your own fleet, right? So you can pick and choose. It's not, like, a set thing. It's like... Oh, if you're playing the Monopoly guy, you are basically the car, and that's it, right? It's you're more pigeonholed into it like a certain thing.
I guess at this point in time, do you have an army building mechanic in that game? Because I'm not familiar with it. Do you build out like your little, zombie killing party? Do they have different abilities and different
stats?
There
are different character cards that you can choose from.
But it's already preset for you.
Well, each person who is playing is the protagonists. I think there's probably 8 different characters you can be, and it's going to be often different as to who actually is being played with.
Do they have points values, and can you take more or less? So I think that's kind of one of the things is with Attack Wing and X-Wing, you can really customize and change your particular force. And a lot of those games that are clearly board games, that's a little more set in stone or built into the rules mechanic, and there's less combinations.
So that could be more of the difference between what's a miniatures game and what's a board game.
And I think X-Wing gets really difficult for that because there is only 2 factions.
And that's just what I was going to say. It's one of those games where, do you think Warhammer Fantasy would be as cool as it was Empire versus Orcs?
No.
But if that was it.
Still
that being
sweet.
Said, there's a
orcs
lot...
Orcs are awesome.
And there's a lot more ways to play... I think there's a lot more viable ways to play an X-Wing list than there is, like, Empire. There's a couple of... Like, all these armies. There's a few builds that they kind of get pigeonholed into.
Okay,
but with
not...
X-Wing, the number of archetypes is huge. There's so many different play styles within a faction.
Okay, let's take away GW's poor list, rules-building system, because they have such a... They clearly only have one build in each book that's really powerful.
For Fantasy, I actually think it's pretty good. Fantasy, I think, is better than 40K for that.
Oh, totally. But it's still not great. You look at something like War Machine where you change your cast.
I think the best
totally
analog is Malifaux. Because Malifaux, each faction's got between 6 and 7 masters. And those 6 and 7 masters fulfill several, like, a different archetype for each one. So, would you say you've got more than 7 archetypes for either X-Wing or Attack, or either the Imperials or the Rebels?
I would easily say so, because at this point in time, I've been playing X-Wing for... over a year. I've got, I think, about 60 games under my belt. I have, I think, 2 lists that I've used more than twice.
Okay, that I'm not asking about different lists. I'm asking about different list archetypes.
At the end of the day, you can do any almost any ship. You can do a list with just that ship, and if you build them correctly, it'll be effective.
So kind of like your masters, right? Where you kind of centralize it behind like one person. You'll see like lists builds behind like Chewie. I mean, this is my Chewie list where I take Chewie and his extras, right?
Right. Yeah.
Where I'm gonna take Darth Vader, which he doesn't show up very often because
he's really expensive and does no work.
Sorry, yeah, but what I'm saying really is that this game you've got the 7 different masters, mm-hmm. and then within each master you could probably play them with several different combinations of models. So that's why Malifaux's a good analog. Where would Malifaux be interesting if it was just Gremlins versus Guild?
I don't know. You tell me. You play the game.
I think it would lose some of the appeal and a lot of the variety.
Totally. But that's the thing about X-Wing is there's Rebels and Imperials. That's it. I mean, maybe you could throw in the droid or the what is it called? The droid faction in the first movies?
Like the Trade Federation.
Trade Federation, yeah.
And there's definitely, some people are wondering if they're going to expand to the other eras, like do prequel stuff. I mean, whatever. It's kind of irrelevant. But at the end of the day, I think the oversimplification is due to just not playing the game as much and understanding that, because this game is very much about subtlety. Like a lot of good games, it's easy to learn, difficult to master, right? And the subtle differences between the characters, the named versions of each ship, so like your Luke Skywalker versus your Biggs versus your Wedge, they're all piloting the same ship, but they all do very different things and they all have very different roles within a list. And every ship is like that. Every ship has multiple named characters that completely change the way that they function, and they almost all the named characters have access to elite pilot talents that, again, mm-hmm. completely change the way they behave. And then you get into the actual upgrades, the munitions, like the other changes to your ships, and you can take the same 4 models and play such completely different lists just by changing out which equipment they have.
Mm-hmm. So the question I have for you then, and I know you're probably a little biased because you do play it a lot,
yeah.
and I don't play it that much, so I'm probably biased in the other direction, but do you think this game is going to be as popular 10 years from now?
10 years from now? I don't know. It's like, I don't know if Warhammer's going to be around 10 years from now.
But Warhammer's already been around for 25.
So I think this game, if they support it, will have the staying power, provided they continue expanding. And they don't have to expand at a rapid pace. Like, they've been going, every 6 months? They've been doing a release.
But do you think it's a couple waves will a year. Stay there?
What's the movie schedule release? I think that's
really
realistically. Well.
I think that's a big part of it. Is the big challenge for a game like this is they've come out with a lot of the, like, pretty much everything that's well known and makes sense to be in the game is right now. They're doing some expanded universe stuff like the Dash Rendar and the Decimator. They're starting to do some of the ship designs are from video games. Like, they never really featured too heavily in the books or whatever.
Like
the
Phantom?
Yeah, like the Phantom was in, what was that, like Dark Forces or something?
Oh, it was also in X-Wing vs. TIE Fighter 2, I think, or something.
Yeah, back in the day, like the old PC games, that's for sure. And yeah, so they're definitely mining a lot of the expanded universe stuff. I think a lot of it will come down to like what they do for the timelines and everything in the movies. And the way the timing of it works, it's not too bad, because they probably do have a couple more release waves in them, which, especially if they do more of these, like, Rebel Aces, Imperial Aces, where they do new pilots and, like, new upgrade cards for some of the older ships. Mm-hmm. So, like, one that had TIE Interceptor pilots, and they did, again, like, Kirkanos and Karnor Jax, which are some of the Royal Guards from some of the comic books. And
So you've been talking about X-Wing and whether or not, because only it's 2 factions, whether or not it's a miniatures game, which I disagree with you. I think it is. But
well, to be fair, I'm largely playing devil's advocate here.
Oh, totally. Totally. I know exactly what you're saying here. I think we're all kind of in the same boat. But Attack Wing, in my mind, is totally, by all definitions, a miniatures game. Because it's got multiple factions. It's got lots of ways of building it. The models are the WizKids models. So they're not nearly as cool.
And it's not only that, but it's got more of the... It feels to me a lot more like Magic the Gathering than a miniature game these days.
Oh, just because of the tournament support and the way they do the rollouts of...
Because if you don't go to the tournament, you don't get the shiny new ship.
And because it is more about the cards ship, than it is about the models.
You're not going to be good, yeah.
But I don't know about that.
It's their company dynamic, right? That. Like, I like games where I know what I'm buying. If I want a B-Wing, I can go and buy a B-Wing and I'm set. Whereas, like, the way that WizKids does, like, a lot of their hero clicks, it's just like, oh, you buy this blind booster, and you could get a Sentinel, you could get Wolverine, you could get Spider-Man.
To be fair, a lot of their other games, random. A lot of their other games, though, it's like those expansions are a couple of bucks. It's like $2, $3, $4. So you can buy 10 for the cost of buying like two ships from X-Wing.
But I'd rather spend the money on something that I know that I want, true, rather than just like, let's take a shot here. Right?
Yeah, nine times out of 10, I'll agree with you for sure.
Right. So
the reason I like the Attack Wing stuff is because it is in my, well, it's one of the reasons I like 40K and Fantasy is because, well, not so much now, but it used to be that wackier things would happen.
They just slapped you around.
Like, it's a little more... They did. Abusive relationship, for sure. No, the thing that's fun about it is bizarre things can happen. Like, you put captains on ships they shouldn't be on. Like, it's kind of more of a fun beer and pretzels game. And sometimes that's kind of what I... When I was playing 40K a little more competitively, that's exactly what I was looking for, was Attack Wing. A miniatures game that was more fun. And that's exactly what it is. Like, I have my bio ships that I painted up. I have a ton of fun with them. I think I won one game due to pure luck with them. and it's awesome. I couldn't be happier with the game.
So I guess
even though it is totally random
for me, and this is kind of maybe asking the same question a different way, but we're all guys who've been playing Games Workshop games for at least 15 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, agree.
And we, whether or not we're still in love, Mike, obviously, a little bit longer. That's why I said at least.
Oh, you're bumping up.
I've been playing since 1974.
You're bumping up the average
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so in a situation where we're maybe not all in love with the company right now, there still are certain projects that we're still looking at, and we'll probably still be likely to dust off old armies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
So I have a hard time seeing a game like Attack Wing, maybe even more so than X-Wing, because it is getting a little bit wonky with the releases and having to go to specific events to get all the different cards, mm-hmm. having that same kind of staying power, where if I'm going to choose a game to play instead of 40K 10 years from now, is it going to be Attack Wing, or is it going to be the next sexy thing?
I'm going to, you know what, even though everybody here seems to think it's going to last forever, I think there's actually going to be a drop-off where it's going to kind of die and taper off, and then unless something like a new movie picks it up and brings out releases from that, it's going to stay stale for a while, because they can only do these releases for so long before they start running out of material or start breaking any leases or something that they have, because I'm pretty sure that it's quite restrictive of what they can and can't do.
It's, I think one of the main things is allegedly, I think it's Hasbro or somebody like that owns the rights to, actually it's kind of funny now that I think about it, technically another company owns the right to Star Wars board games. And they consider anything land-based a board game. So they can't come out with like the Snow Speeders or something like that, right? Like, they can only do space battles.
It might be Lego.
I don't think it's Lego. I think it is like Hasbro or like one of the other like large manufacturers. But they consider board games anything land-based. And space battles are the exception,
right,
which is
so,
why...
If we're
so
taking
some
Hasbro's
weird,
word on this
some weird
now.
Legal semantics bullshit argument would be that it's not a board game.
But Warhammer is because it's land-based. Just, that's your new definition.
And yeah. At the end of the day, I still think miniatures games, a lot of them, are just a subset of board game.
Oh, totally.
Because you're still playing on... the tabletop is the board. You're just covering it with a grass mat and putting whatever, right?
At
like, it's still
day,
a board game.
At the end of the day, the question really was... Is it going to have the longevity that...
Or is it legitimate?
That became a question.
Yes,
that wasn't the one
it
on...
Is, it is,
well,
was
the question,
question,
the original board. Question was the legitimacy of these games.
Right.
Which I think the longevity of them is a major factor. Whether or not it's just a board game versus a
mini game. I'm not saying it's
going to
be a short run, but I can't see it running forever is all I'm saying.
Fair enough.
But
I think a lot of it will depend on if they expand to... Depending on how many new ships are in the movies. Because we're going to get at least 4 or 5 years as they stretch out these movies, right? Like, I don't think they're doing one every year, Lord of the Rings style.
Yeah, and what also might be a little while till we get to the first movie, because I think Harrison Ford just like broke his leg or something.
Which,
like that,
yes,
right?
Which you mean? Which,
I think
which
it's
means
2016, isn't it?
Which means you know that Han Solo kicks ass. I'm excited.
Or he
old Han Solo.
Or doors fall on him. Like I'm pretty sure that I'm pretty sure they said it was the Millennium Falcon door like actually fell on him.
Oh,
that thing would be heavy. What can I say?
And admittedly, the Millennium Falcon's kind of a piece of shit, so it wouldn't be out of place for things.
They should
to
have
fall
just
apart.
Kept that.
Crushing rebel defeat
we
due
are,
to door.
We are using this, Han Solo.
Well, no, but that's one of the things about when you're talking about the staying power of it. One of the reasons I think all of us are still kind of like, we're playing 40K is because we have thousands of dollars invested in it, and it's a little bit painful just to throw that out. Whereas,
you don't have to tell me that. It really is painful.
I don't think we're... No one's throwing it out. That's a complete meta... I'm
Jordan Murphy
not.
Threw a Dark Eldar army in the trash.
I know, that's absolutely upsetting.
but with my attack wing fleet, like if I moved and lost that, I'd be a little upset. I could just buy it again for like $150.
Yeah, the investment's definitely not there.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the painting took an evening, not even.
But like, whereas I've painted now a couple dozen X-Wing ships, so I don't plan on getting rid of them. Even if I'm not playing the game as much, I still actually come around and I do like the models. I am enjoying painting them more.
Yeah, you've also painted them to a way higher standard than the bio ships.
See, for me, just like to clarify everything, I think that X-Wing is absolutely a miniatures game. You buy, you collect the models, even if you are going to like stop playing eventually, whatever the case may be, because there's not the support there or you're just tired of the game, you still have collector's models that you can do. For the hobby aspect, I do agree with Mike that, like, yeah, you know what, they're already pre-painted. It's not necessarily a hobbyist game. However, for gamers like us and people that have played Warhammer and 40K that want to evolve this game,
you can make it a hobby game.
Absolutely.
Just pick up a brush and the models are there. The details are on the models. Put brush
to model. You can go nuts
with
the
good.
Basing.
Yeah, there's some people that have painted.
Some basing.
I haven't done much basing
with the
anything,
pilot cards for Rogue Squadron. That's
that's
of
right
basing.
Too. Yeah, I did some the little the plastic identifier tokens that you can slot into their bases. I printed out some that had like the faces of the pilots, like had Wedge, had Luke. I did mean to redo those, so I completely forgot about them. But yeah,
in
you
my
can.
Mind, that's basing.
Yeah, fair enough. And there are some people people that have painted the starfields onto their bases as well. Like they don't instead of using just the clear plastic, they just did the black primer and some nebulas and some other shit like that. Like there are people that have taken this like way beyond necessary. I mean, it's as much of a hobby game as you want it to be, and I think the counter to that argument as well, or you know, flip side of it, I guess, is there's plenty of people playing games like Warhammer and War Machine and stuff like that. They don't paint their stuff.
Yeah, I
it's
argue
still
that
it's a,
only
it's
the tournament gamer
game.
That is always painting their stuff.
But I mean, you go to a steamroller and
totally.
At least half the
to.
Armies are bare metal or plastic.
Yeah, I think it's a weird GW subset of gamer that's going to tournaments. It's painting everything for sure.
Well, yeah,
most
it's,
beer
it's
and pretzels
the old
games in a basement.
It's the old GW culture, right? Like you had to play in the store. You had to paint your stuff.
Yeah, totally.
To play in the tournaments, you had to paint your stuff. It's definitely a Games Workshop culture to do that. Where imposing that on everything else seems like a little unreasonable, I think,
I
at times.
I never thought I'd say this, but I'm glad that these models are pre-painted.
It beats the alternative. At the
totally.
End of the day, there's plenty of people that I know that play these games that have never painted a model before in their life. And a lot of them are really cool guys, and I'm glad to know them, so.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, Privateer Press is starting to encourage people to paint their models more because they are doing
good.
A lot of televised broadcasts of all their top tables.
And they
a lot
don't
of
want
events.
Their game to look like shit?
Yeah, basically. It promotes the hobby better, and it's easy to
promote
differentiate.
Promote the hobby. That is a terrifying phrase for anybody that worked at GW.
Yeah.
That was what, 10th, fourth commandment?
Fourth commandment. Fourth anyways, commandment. If anybody isn't aware, there was a commandment system for employees, and that was one of them.
Yeah. But anyways.
My favorite, as a side note.
So other companies are moving in that direction, even if it is just so that they look a little bit better on TV or more easy to differentiate between them. But I think overall, it sounds like the consensus is that it definitely is a miniature game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And yeah, they're definitely not full-scale X-Wings.
that would be way cooler.
I would pay $15 for that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It can be a hobby.
I make fighter jet noises all
as much as anything else.
Yep.
Plane, star,
however, I think there still is... It's going to be just time will tell whether or not this is going to have the staying power of any of the other game systems.
Yeah,
because War Machine's on 10 years now, uh-huh. And it's stronger than it's ever been. Fantasy and 40K are... 40K is, what, 20 years now, close to, and... Fantasy's 25?
77, wasn't it? It's almost 30.
It's about, yeah, I think it's 30-ish years for Warhammer, and 40K is dating back, if you go to, like, Space Crusade stuff, that's the 80s.
Okay.
It might be 74. I think it was 35th anniversary just a little while, wasn't it?
40K, I think, had their 25th anniversary.
Now. Okay, sure.
So. And
so they've
and
been around
GW
for
started
a
off doing
D&D time.
Stuff, so.
Yeah.
Sure. But again, I think that's the diversity, right? They've got more armies. They implement new things at different times. So it's just going to... Time will tell if that's what X-Wing's going to do.
And who knows if they do the same thing that a lot of other game companies make. They might come out with X-Wing 2.0. Like, you know, if the ships become stale, if there is a bit of power creep, which they've actually done a really good job avoiding.
Yeah,
you
which
can
I'm
still,
surprised about.
You look at the regional championship winners from the last few weeks, and it's... Some of the lists are pure Wave 3, some of them are pure Wave 1, and everything in between mixed up. Like... there is an, except for the TIE Swarm being really freaking popular, yeah, there's an amazing spread. Like, they've done a great job of balancing the game and giving you a reason to play with everything that's come out along the way.
See, the one thing that I...
Except the Hawk.
Yeah, which is makes the me Hawk? So sad.
The so Hawk sad. Is one definitely an uphill ships. Fight trying to make that work. It can
really
be done.
I want a Moldy Crow.
It can be done. It's just tough.
But yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, is that investment that you have in your attack wing or X-wing fleet or faction is not the same as most players are going to put into like one Imperial Knight, you know? It's
definitely
monetary.
Not money-wise.
Well, maybe, but not... It would be close if you bought like everything kind of situation. But from assembly to paint, people get attached to their model kit. There's the reason people build
fighters. It gives you an emotional investment, right? Yeah. Like, the more time and effort and all the other stuff you put into it, the more, you know, emotionally invested you are. But at the end of the day, people are pretty freaking emotionally invested in Star Wars. There's a lot of us that are pretty glad we can finally have, like, a gaming outlet.
Well, how long did I rave about, I can't wait for the Bioships to come out. Like, I loved that arc in Voyager, because I'm weird, okay? I'll admit it.
Yeah.
But I was so excited for them to come out. Like, I'm invested in those ships. I don't think... I could get rid of the Feds, because I really don't care. Everybody
well, you couldn't, because aren't they your wife's?
Yeah. But she probably wouldn't notice too much.
See, I gotta get my wife in on it, and then they can play.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, my wife would not really ever want to touch a paintbrush and miniatures, but she likes... Star Trek. Bam. Playing a miniatures game.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I think X-Wing has, or Attack Wing, sorry, has against it in longevity is that someone getting into the game 4 years from now
totally.
That doesn't have access to all of the OP mm-hmm. bonuses from now.
Yeah, like, oh, I want to make
really
a flagship.
Frustrating.
You can't. You just can't make a flagship.
Unless they,
well,
unless they re-release them all.
At the end of the day, they might also say, oh, this OP event is over. You can't use those resources anymore.
Which I get, which I guess is a big popular thing that WizKids does, or even
they do it with HeroClix and the other stuff.
And
they
Magic,
have the ban list,
right? So it's like, oh, yeah. After 2 years, yeah, you can't use that. Here's
so I mean,
the
flagships, the elite attack dice, that sort of a thing, they might not be a thing a year.
But
they have
2 years.
But they have started also releasing like their OP stuff that you get for free that you can buy. So
like
the
bases.
The color bases, right? That's
and
the
fighters that are currently the Hideki fighters and the Federation fighters are coming out as just blister packs.
Good.
So they hopefully will be something that you can actually just take. I can see 5 units of fighters being a really rowdy list.
Oh my god, yes.
So hopefully
they have
a little star
resource.
Next to them or something. Not as a resource, but as something you can only buy one of. I'd be okay with
unique,
that.
So.
Because they're really good for 20 points.
Oh yeah, they're amazing. That's actually, the fighters are a really cool mechanic of Attack Wing that I really like.
Yeah.
But
and I actually like them because they play a lot more like an X-Wing ship because they can actually turn.
Yeah, they're a little bit slower because they clearly don't have the high-speed warp. But they maneuver way better.
Yeah, they can actually
really cool.
turn without completely screwing themselves over, which is, for me, I miss that.
All right, so we'll wait
consensus.
And see, I guess. I don't know if there is a full consensus on that one.
I think
us.
We were all a miniatures game.
It's all miniatures game.
Oh, no, we already established
okay.
that.
Yeah. But that's
the last one was just whether or not it would be the longevity.
I hope.
Yeah, me too.
Yep, I'd be very, very sad if the game goes away, because it is a great game.
Well, we can all play it here. Till we're old.
Yeah, but we could all still play 6th Edition Fantasy if we wanted to. We just never do.
Yeah, true.
Okay, so we did, at the beginning of the podcast, put a question up on Facebook, if anyone did have any questions for us. We've got to Luke's question.
And
about
so much for us having an episode be on the time limit.
What are we at?
Hour 20.
Ooh.
It's fine. These are two relatively quick questions.
Okay.
So, there was the Luke for the black paint job. Rob's response, so the non-Hobby Night in Canada one, is to create shadows with a black wash and highlight with a black dry brush to really make it pop.
Ah, I like that. That's good.
Sarcasm.
So, from James Paul, if you were going to pick a hand implement of mayhem to bring destruction upon your foes, what would you choose? Steve.
Flail.
Ward.
Axe.
Mike.
Sword.
Chainsaw.
Ooh, nice. It's
not really hand implement means, I think, in my mind, non-motorized.
In Army of Darkness, it replaces his hand.
Touche.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, I like the Trotsky, the ice pick.
Okay, yeah, that's a good
classic.
One, too.
Okay.
We have a good zombie-killing gang here, I feel like.
And, no,
I'm
going
to be really
like,
tired with the flail. I'm going to kill one zombie real good and then have to have you guys defend me.
Mine's just more for ex-Soviet officials.
Nice.
And the last question is directed at me.
Why are you so popular?
I don't know. How excited will... I guess you could answer this. so we can run it around as well. How excited will Tom be now that the first Plaster Gremlins seem to be finally shipping from Alpha?
My response, because I heard you talk about it earlier, is pretty excited. Wish they had a few new poses.
I think you're going to have to go to the bathroom a couple times.
I think you're really not that happy because you already have those poses and you want the new ones to come out.
That's not what you think. That's what you heard me say.
Yeah, we kind of already knew the answer to that one.
So were we right?
Well, yeah,
have you changed
obviously.
Your opinion since then?
Well, okay, so here's the thing. It means that hopefully I'll get the new models soon. I'm a little bummed out that it's the one crew box that they already had metal models for and not any of the four masters that don't have a crew box. So it's kind of bittersweet. So Anyone that's going to be getting into Gremlins right now, this is an amazing time to do it because it is a great box. Comes with Sommerteef Jones, some Skeeters, four Bayous, and Lenny, which is just a fantastic starting core, and it's basically in almost every Sommer list that I use.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Because you're going to get into Gremlins.
Damn it! There's a high chance of that.
But I'm still waiting for my Brewmaster, so it's kind of a bittersweet happiness for me, I guess.
Okay, do we have any more questions? I like this part. This is a fun segment. Is
that it? No, that's it.
Why hasn't Steve painted any models?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. Good question.
It's summer. It's car racing season.
Patio.
Have you raced any cars in the last week or two?
Not last week, but the week before.
So why didn't you paint any models this week?
Because I was fixing the car that I broke.
Why don't you drive better?
That would be nice.
Fair enough. Well, I think we can actually finish it before an hour and a half. And let's cap it off. That was another episode of Hobby Nate in Canada. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm Steve.
Ward.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Dan.
And if you want to, you can not paint your models this time if you're playing X-Wing or Attack Wing.
With the pottery, right?
Is he talking about Ghost with Patrick Swayze?
Yeah. Except instead of his hands, it's just her cheek is not going.
What?